You know how it goes this time of the year, don't you? See, to me, it's Thanksgiving is hardly over, right? And we get all decked out in our ugly Christmas sweaters or Christmas pajamas, whichever you prefer, and we start decorating our homes, and we shop, and we wrap, and we bake, and we cook, and there's just so much to do, and there's so many events to attend, and it seems like too much money that we spend as well. You know how it goes, after all, and it kind of seems like we skip Advent. It kind of seemed like we focus on that sweet baby Jesus, you know, that 8-pound, 6-ounce baby, like Ricky Bobby tends to believe. Talladega Nights, come on, you know that? David introduced me to it how many years ago?
A long time ago.
I've only watched it once, but that phrase really stuck with me. And I guess, you know, we get all sentimental, maybe even a little greedy, and we somehow end up materializing Christmas. And then before we know it, you know, there's this huge mess. Pieces of wrapping paper are all over the living room or the dining room or wherever you have your tree on that long-expected Christmas morning. And then, in what seems like a split of a second, then it's all done for another year. Is it? I want to invite you this morning to pause for a minute, to take a deep breath, and to be in God's presence instead. Jesus is coming. In fact, the scriptures of the New Testament, they say that Jesus is coming like a thief in the middle of the night. That's actually quite daunting, maybe even scary, I would say. Or as one of the commentaries puts it, you know, there's nothing to raise your holiday spirits like the anticipated threat of Jesus kidnapping someone at work and then breaking into your house and robbing you. And the fun part is, it will be a surprise. So it kind of seems like, on the one hand, we have Ricky Bobby's sweet, chubby baby. And then on the other hand, we have this scary, frightening fella. Pick one. Is this how we start the holiday season? There has to be more to Matthew 24, don't you think? Yeah, you're right. The answer is actually quite simple. Context. Remember I told you before that my dad, who taught me the New Testament studies while I still lived in Slovakia, he would remind his students of the context. So I've read Matthew 24 in its entirety, and I picked up a few commentaries, and I checked out a few blogs, and after I did my part, I gave him a Skype call. And yes, the word context was mentioned in our conversation, alongside with the fact that the emphasis here is not just on waiting as such. In fact, if you ask a person like me, I would tell you that waiting seems kind of passive, kind of boring. It's just not my thing. I'm not very patient. But passivity, if you read the scripture carefully, passivity is far from what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, keep awake. Jesus says, watch. Jesus says, be prepared and get ready. That's what he says. Because he is coming like a thief in the middle of the night. And then the scripture goes on to comparing it to the days of Noah. You know, when people were eating and they were drinking and they were carrying on as usual, having a good old time, right up to that moment when Noah and his family and the animals boarded the ark. But then it was too late for the rest of the people. From the story of Noah, we see that Noah prepares. He and his family are working hard on that ark. And I'm sure it took more than just a few weeks to finish up a project like that, and I'm sure it was not cheap either. And they may be wondering about all this. You know, what in the world does God want us to do? And they may be having questions, but questions or not, they're getting ready. And they're preparing. And that in a very active way. And so it is with those who make sure to bring their animals and anything that has any value inside their house, you know, those who lock and bolt their doors until the morning, because you never know when a thief will try to break into your house. And at that day and age, they had no security systems. They had no smartphones, no 911 options whatsoever. So be prepared. You know, you kind of learn your lesson when you wake up to an intruder standing in your master bedroom, leaning over your bed, trying to get in between David and me. Mind you, there's a baby in the nursery. Thank God she is sleeping. True story. It could have ended up a lot worse than what it did. And all of this happened because we forgot to lock the doors. And this young man was under influence, and he simply assumed that was his house and that was his bed he was trying to get into. That's kind of funny now, but I can guarantee you it was not funny then. We lived in Roscoe, New York. Let's just say that we moved a few months later. The point is, you know, be prepared. Jesus is determined to hold us accountable. How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat those who are in need of help? And what about children? You see here, Matthew 24 goes hand in hand with Matthew 25. And interestingly, Pastor David touched up on this last week when he preached. We're talking about that context, remember? Do you know what Matthew 25 is about? It's that scripture about the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left hand. Thank you. It's that scripture where Jesus says how important it is to feed the hungry and how important it is to give water to those who are thirsty and how important it is to clothe the naked and care for the sick and visit those who are in prison. And he says how important it is to welcome a stranger. Because how can we worship the child in a manger all the while gassing the child at the border? I'm sure you've heard statements like these in the last week or so. But how true. I'm humbled. Aren't you? We get sidetracked very easily. You know how it goes this time of the year. We have this tendency to put our energy into writing creative Christmas letters or getting the best deal at Americana Manhasset or having the best decorated house or maybe the tastiest and the most beautiful cookies. All the while, there are people who are hungry and who are waiting for some food. All the while, there are those who are thirsty, and they're waiting for a cup of water. Or migrants who are waiting for hospitality and welcome and help. And then there are those without decent clothes that could keep them warm. And those who are in prison who are waiting for a visit. And the sick. They're waiting for medicine. They're waiting for affordable health care. So hearing this, don't you think it's that time? Time to pause for a minute time to reevaluate, time to worship God with our entire hearts, giving Jesus our full attention. See, it kind of seems like we're building our own kingdoms at times, but then we see them fade away. They don't last. The fact, however, is that the Word of God lasts and stands forever. And Jesus, the Son of our God, is coming. And Matthew is not saying this to give us a scare. It's more of a wake-up call. Or as the Apostle Paul puts it in his letter to the Christians in Rome, it is that time. The alarm clock is ringing, so let us rise and shine. Or in the words of Jesus, in the words of the light of the world, be the light, be the beacon of light for those around you. Or in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, let's walk in the light of God. So as Matthew's wake-up call gets our attention back on track, we learn one thing. We learn that the good news is not just the proclamation. The good news is not just the forgiveness that we receive. The good news is also a response, our response. The good news turns, or at least it turns our routines on their head. Because it's not about feeling like a Christian. It's not about claiming that we are a Christian. It's about being a Christian. It's about following the example and the teachings of Jesus Christ. All teachings, not just those we're comfortable with, not just those that play into our agendas. You know, it's about helping the least of these, using the words of Jesus from Matthew 25. And this includes the situation on our southern border. So when it comes down to it, there is a choice to be made. And this choice is a lot more than just some short-lived holiday charity. This choice is about discipleship. About active discipleship for the sake of those who need us. It's about the transformation of our community, the transformation of our country. It's about following Jesus in a tangible way, in a concrete way. You know, we don't need to necessarily get together in the parlor and brainstorm the ways in which to bring more people to church. What we need to do is to stand up and leave the sanctuary, leave the church building, and when we're out there, call our representatives. And when we're out there, you know, in our town where life is happening, ask the question, who needs me? Who needs us? And ask the question, what can I do? What can we do with our education, with our resources, with our experience, with our finances, in order to make America kind again, in order to share God's love with all? Beloveds, we keep awake. We watch. We wait alertly for Jesus, not with our hands folded in our laps, but actively involved in service to our neighbors and strangers alike, making a difference, working and praying and working again. Because, you know, imagine, I want you to imagine what God can do through you. What God can do through you and your experience and your work. If we decide to step up, if we decide to stand up for what is right, not just once a week or twice a week, but every day of the week. We wake up in the morning and say to ourselves, or say to each other, or pray to the Lord and say, help me step up today, and help me do what is right. You know, I think that things would be different this Advent season. Actually, I think that things would be different this Christmas. Things would be different this upcoming calendar year. You know, I believe that Christ's work has changed us. It has made us into mourning people. And to be a mourning person for Jesus, it's not just agreeing that some things should change. It's also about working for change. It's about working for justice. It's about working for peace and for the transformation of the systems that are broken. Because until the hearts of hate come down, until racially induced violence ends, until we're all truly equal, not just in our minds, not just on paper, but also in our hearts, also in our society, in our churches. Until we love our neighbor and a stranger around us, be it here in Port Washington or on our southern border. Until we love them enough to realize that Jesus calls us to care for them, to care for each other. Until then, we have a lot of work to do. But it's that time, beloveds. The alarm clock is ringing. So let us rise and shine in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
As we continue this service together, I'd like you now to page 17 as we join together.